Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I know.
What do you know?
I'm a layout.
Wipe the milk off your chin.
It's a beard.
No, it's milk. That oatmeal milk and banana concoction.
No, that was earlier. This is yogurt.
Oh.
Greek yogurt.
Sugar-free?
Plain, yeah.
All right, get petty off. Actually, don't ever take petty off. Hey, here's a little peripheral story that's come out. So, and I just want to, I want to bat around some things.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Mike, I want to bat around some conversation. So, the Lakers are being sold. The Buss family is selling the Lakers for $10 billion.
To the Dodgers. How big is that payroll?
It's big. So the Lakers have just sold for $10 billion. Okay? The Warriors are worth more than the Lakers. One of the big reasons is they own Chase Center, and the Lakers don't own Staples, at least not solo. Anyway, in 2010, 15 years ago, Joe Lacob buys the Warriors for $450 million. He could sell this organization tomorrow for $12 to $14 billion. All right?
You know that?
I mean, if they're worth more than the Lakers, they're supposed to be number two behind Dallas, the Cowboys, that's it. So, here's my question. Why wouldn't he sell the team? Like, why wouldn't Joe Lacob sell the Warriors? He's made more money in 15 years off this purchase, I got to believe, than any other sports owner in any other sport. Because he bought it for He bought it for $450 million.
Careful.
And now it's worth more than $10 billion with a B.
Do you know how much the Lakers were purchased for in 1979?
I actually do, because I read it. $67 million.
That's unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
And I know that's obviously a much further time away than when Lacob purchased his. But why wouldn't he sell it? Because he think he can make more money in the future. Also, he's only had it for 15 years. Maybe he has things that he still wants to accomplish.
I am just fascinated with
money.
No, I'm fascinated by what happens after Steph.
I think we all are.
I really am. I mean, like, in a way, Joe Lacob can't sell the team. Like, he can't sell the team. When Curry was here in 2010 and then sell it when Curry's still here. You know what I mean? I mean, he could.
I mean, that's more about Curry than it is about Lacob, but.
Well.
Why not? Why can't he sell the team?
Because he would never get the credit for what he's done here. It will always be Steph Curry. So, like, I actually think guys like this, his motivation is, oh, I'm not selling the team because I want to show everybody that I can do it again without Curry. I think that's one of his big motivations. And then his second motivation is he wants to give the team to his sons.
Yeah, I think it'd be more the second than the first. Like the buses who are now they're getting out from under the Lakers. I mean, was Jerry Buss bigger than Magic? I don't know. I'm honestly asking.
No.
Was Jerry Buss bigger than Kobe Bryant?
No.
The owner's never going to be bigger than an all-time talent. I feel like that's kind of the understanding. And I've never owned a team. We'll never own a team. But I'd imagine, and Lacob, he grew up a Celtics fan?
Yeah.
He knows the history of the game and owner's places in it. I mean, I don't know if it's about being bigger than Curry. I don't think he ever can be.
Well,
if he wins after him.
No. I don't think it's about being bigger than Curry. Just put yourself in Lacob's position. He buys the team in 10. You've reached 2025. You've got four titles, and now Steph's 36. You know he hears the whispers of, he's got nothing to do with it. It's Steph Curry.
Sure.
I mean, Lacob's made a lot of money, but without Curry, they don't win four titles. And I think that's natural for him to hear. And knowing Lacob a little bit, I do believe he wants to win it again. Like, of course he wants a fifth with Curry. But I think if you told Joe Lacob, I'll give you a fifth ring next year, or I'll give you a fifth ring in 2030 when all these guys have cleared out, but you've redone it all, I think you take 2030.
He might, but let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So Caitlin Clark's in town tonight to play the Valkyries.
Okay.
Massive game.
Yep.
What your buddy said the ticket for tonight's game is,
yes. Let me read this to you. So this is,
just put it in perspective.
This is my buddy, Curtis. And we're talking about the Valkyries Fever game tonight. Tickets are pretty expensive. And according to Curtis, he says prices are higher for this Valkyries game than the Warriors' last home game of the season against the Timberwolves. That was a playoff game. He said, I wanted to go tonight, but I'm not paying $200 to sit in section 206, which is very high.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
So if Joe Lacob and the Valkyries could acquire Caitlin Clark, they would do it in a heartbeat.
Correct.
But that was just that's one game. So she's not only a cash cow, she's a great player, might win championships, all the rest. So if Lacob was able to build a dynasty with the Valkyries, with Caitlin Clark as his star player in a hypothetical world, he wouldn't be bigger than Caitlin Clark. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Right.
The players dictate everything. I mean, owners are important, there's no doubt about that. Coaches are important, front office, executives, everyone. But the players are the ones that have to go out and do it. I don't think he doesn't understand. Like, if the Warriors win another championship and Curry's not there, it's probably because they have a great or a couple of great players.
Right.
Those players will get the credit.
Right. But how do they get those players? Like, that's what I think separates the big boys from a guy like Lacob. If you want to talk about Jerry Buss, is they won it. Then time passed. Then they won it again with others. Then time passed. Then they won it again with others. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. I think it's natural. Not that there's any resentment from Joe Lacob towards Steph Curry, but just everything that makes these guys competitive. Like, I don't think he looks at, well, once Steph leaves, well, everything's just happenstance and luck. I think he's thinking, you know, when Steph retires, we'll get a plan in place to get back on top in 3 years. Like, and if and when he does that, now we got a problem, meaning, like, now he is one of the greatest owners in sports.
Yeah, and he strikes me as a competitive guy, and he's a very successful businessman. But I also think, too, that the fact that he's been star hunting even while Curry's been on the team means that that is how he's trying to operate, whether Curry's there or not. Like, they had a 73-win team and had the opportunity to acquire Kevin Durant. They went out and got the biggest free agent possible. Jimmy Butler was the biggest star available at the time. If Kevin Durant had wanted to come back to Golden State, that would have been the biggest deal done, minus Luka Doncic, obviously, at the deadline. If Lacob could have gotten Doncic, I think he would have tried to do that. He tried to get LeBron James 2 years ago. Like, he's always been, I think, someone that wants to play at the big table and get the big name. So, I don't really think it's necessarily about, like, winning before here or after. And in all honesty, 15 years is not that long of a period of time. I mean, the rise of the Warriors financially and on the court, it's been meteoric. Like, it's just been, I don't know about you. I don't think he would want to sell, but if he did, we know how much the team is worth now because of what the Lakers went for.
Right. I also think a big part of this now with the Warriors are the Valkyries. And here's the other thing. I don't think he's going to sell. I just thought to myself, you know, why wouldn't he? I mean, you've gone from $500 million to $12 billion. Why wouldn't you sell?
Likes to work.
Right. Not that he's going to sell. But the Valkyries, to me, are... I don't think people should diminish his interest in the Valkyries. So, you know, next year, the collective bargaining agreement in the WNBA is up.
Yep.
You've got to negotiate a new deal. So there's some possibilities there where, you know, the salary cap's going to go up, free agents are going to make more money, and they're probably going to implement a lot of different rules. And Joe Lacob's got to be ready to pounce. I mean, absolutely pounce if money becomes a big factor with the WNBA, which it probably will. The other thing is, and we're really getting into the weeds here, but, you know, Joe Lacob was the guy who started a league that competed with the WNBA before he bought the Warriors, the ABL, and they got swallowed up by the NBA, but that's where Lacob first met David Stern, and then later he would get the Warriors because of his longtime relationship with David Stern, and he outbid Larry Ellison and all those things. But what I'm getting at is, like, I think it means a lot to Lacob if he could make the Valkyries a dynasty too. Like, I think that is very important to him. He would love that be the men's and women's, like, king of basketball.
Yeah, I think so. Like, and I'm not as familiar with him as you are, but he strikes me, like, why would he develop an expansion team if he didn't want it to be successful?
Right.
In order to be the best, then why not, like, if you're going to do something, be the best at it. So, like, I think, all right, Caitlin Clark's in town tonight, and I'm not as familiar with the new or upcoming WCBAs, you know, on the men's side of things, but I have to imagine that Lacob is going to approach the Valkyries the same way he does the Warriors, which is, for example, if Caitlin Clark is available, he will go after her. He will do everything in his power to try and bring Caitlin Clark to the Valkyries, because that's all he's tried to do with the Warriors. Now, he may not accomplish it. It may not work. She may not want to leave Indiana. Who knows? But the point is, I do think that while the Valkyries are a team that it right now might not have a, you know, a homegrown star or, you know, a household name, they're not, you know, they're a quality team right now. They're not one of the best in the West, but they certainly, I think, have surpassed expectations based on what previous expansion teams have done. He's gonna look for that big name, and I don't think it's just gonna be in the draft.
I agree with that. That I agree with. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the said Golden State Valkyries and Golden State Warriors, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Yeah, I'm just wondering if an owner's motivation changes over time. And I got to believe if he were in here, Lacob would say, I'm not selling. Like, that's the furthest thing from my mind. I'm just wondering, you know, what causes somebody to change their mind like that? Because obviously the Lakers had been in the Bus family for a very long period of time. But that's all I was thinking. You know, I'm thinking of Joe Lacob and his $12 billion. He could get it.
Or 14.
Or 14.
Well, yeah, I mean, the other part is he owns the arena.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably the biggest difference between them and the Lakers. It is crazy, though. Like, if you told me when I was a kid, you know, a little closer removed than you are, that the Warriors would be a bigger brand or a more valued brand than not just the Los Angeles Lakers, but the Boston Celtics, and even to some extent the New York Knicks, who is, I think, the third valued team. Them and the Lakers are 3 and 4. That's insane. And I do think a lot of that does go to Curry. A lot of it goes to Lacob. Like, how did that happen? To me, that's going to be the most intriguing book that's going to be written about the Warriors. Like, literally, how did they surpass the Los Angeles Lakers as, by monetary standards, the kings of the West Coast?
Oh, boy, Evan.
Yeah. You gonna write that book?
Probably not.
Could you? Like, if you really put your mind to it.
How the Warriors went from a $400 million team to a $15 billion team, something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, so much of it's Curry. But it's also the arena. The arena's a big part of it. The success is a big part of it. What else? The merchandising's a big part of it that Curry was a big part of. But Evan, you know, the sheer magnitude of what the Warriors have done is something that you talk about, and it is absolutely, positively incredible. And that's why, Evan, you know, when I left NBC Sports Bay Area circa 2012 or 13, and then I laid low for about, 3 or 4 years by choice. And anyway, I remember seeing Joe Lacob at the, get the drop ready, at the, remember when Durant was here and he was a part of the thing at Chase with the bulldozers and the cranes and stuff? When they were unveiling Chase, you remember that?
The ribbon cutting ceremony?
Yeah, the ribbon cutting. Durant was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the first time I talked to Lacob in a few years. And I said to him, I got to tell you. And I said it just like that. Hey, Joe, I got to tell you. What you've done here, unfathomable. That's the word I use. Unfathomable. Because it was, if you were a Warrior fan in 2005, you couldn't fathom that in 20 years they'd be here. You just couldn't. Here's what it's similar to, as long as I'm rolling.
Okay.
In 1979, when they put the three-point line in, nobody could envision ever that they may take 50 shots from out here a game, that a team may shoot 50 times from behind the arc. Like it was incomprehensible. I'm telling you, it just was. And that's the way I feel about the Warriors. If you were watching them in 2005, and their journey to where they are at right now.
Well, the one factor in this that I find really interesting is the player, like the star Curry, right?
Yep.
So the boss had me do an exercise earlier because who's the biggest star in the NFL?
Mahomes.
I would agree.
All right.
So when Mahomes came into the league, the Kansas City Chiefs were valued at $2.8 billion. That was 24th in the NFL. Fast forward to last year, they were valued at, I think, $4.8549 billion, which is a pretty drastic increase, but they were still 24th among NFL teams. Mm. That to me is, I can't really figure out, because I would assume, similar to the Warriors and Curry, that if you have the number one entertainer, the most box office player in your sport, that would catapult you straight, I don't know, maybe not to the top, but somewhere in that realm. But they haven't moved at all relative to their peers. Like, so that's where I do think that I have to say that the success, the championships, star power of Curry, I do think is a major factor. But it's clearly not the only thing that matters. Like, everyone that says that, and it's not degrading towards Curry, in my opinion. It's just like, if I'm looking at the Chiefs and they got Mahomes and they can't move when they got the number one guy, and maybe it's just, is it market? Is it branding? Is it the success of the league? Like, the Warriors, they have gone from I don't know where they ranked when Laker bought the squad. I can't imagine they were even close to number one.
I gotta believe bottom five.
Now the number one valued franchise in the NBA, and they're the second most valued franchise in all of American sports.
Right.
That to me is unfathomable, really.
Well, you know, the funny thing is now that I think about it, and I go back to when the Warriors were lousy, let's say 2000 to 2005, or let's just say when they didn't have a lot of success. No, you could never imagine that they would be on top. So you said, what got them on top? I mean, that's a great question. The one thing, and the market absolutely has something to do with it. And here's what I mean. When the Warriors were struggling in 2000-ish, and even the late 90s, there was always this sentiment that if the Warriors ever got a good team, the area would go crazy. That the Bay Area is a basketball region, and that this market was a place where, you know, because the Warriors were dead, the market was dead. But there was always this talk about the potential of this market if they ever got good. And obviously, they not only got good, they got a transformational player. So I don't know what would have happened if they would have just been, let's say in 15 years, they made 8 playoff appearances and 1 Western Conference final. I don't know if they'd be worth $10 billion now or $12 billion. Like, I'm with you. I kind of don't know exactly how it works.
Well, and that's where I do think that he deserves some credit. It's like it's clearly not just on one individual. It's a host of people. And so, you know, that's what I'm thinking about. It's like, all right, he's had it for 15 years and it looked like he's still going strong. That's why I'd imagine I don't think he'd be close to selling, but I think the Lakers going down for $10 billion does put into perspective, what if he did sell the team? I think there would actually be a lot of people, because of the state of the Warriors prior to his ownership, there would be a lot of questions. There would be concerns about where the team was going to go, what was going to happen. because all that's pretty much been associated with Lacob's time here has been success. And I think to his credit, you know, he's going to do everything he can to bring that to the Valkyries too. But there's only one star in town tonight, Steiny, and she didn't play for the Valkyries.
Who?
Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah, Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark.
By the way, you were the little faux pas before the show.
What do you mean?
You made a fundamental mistake that you, it's just, it's unlike you. I don't know. You know, I said, when are we going to start talking about whether Caitlin Clark can win the big one or not?
Oh.
She's been in the league a year and a half now. They've done nothing.
Oh, yeah, that was my
and
bad.
And she did nothing in college. And Evan said, what do you mean? She won a national championship.
Got to get her facts straight.
What's coming up on the game?
There's only been a two finals.
By the way, I see a
Shut
text.
Up, Evan.
Good afternoon, guys. Matt, you're mistaken. Lacob didn't outbid Larry Ellison. Cohan didn't like Ellison. Actually, that's how Lacob got the team. Ellison outbid you. I tell you what, 510, just for you, I'll tell you the story. I'll tell you the whole story on the other side. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. From the ballpark to wine country, summer's better when your car's ready to roll. Valvoline Instant Oil Change gets you in and out in about 15 minutes. No appointment needed. For locations and coupons, visit BayAreaOilChange.com.
I'm not going to do no trolling on you, Steiny. I'm going to let you live for a day.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Is this the, don't tell me, Shanana with Bowser?
What?
Shanana. It's a band from the 50s.
Bowser's a Mario
Happy Days
character.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, yeah. You like this a lot, don't you?
I actually
played it for Devone.
No, Pasta. Not you.
Oh.
Not everything's about you.
Hey, we got a big day in the Bay. We've got Caitlin Clark in town. And they play the Indiana Fever, play the Valkyries. You can hear that game at 7 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game.
Yep.
A lot of star power in the Bay. And we like that. And the Giants have lost 5 of 6. But Devers is in town. So.
Well, you know, a tough loss last time out to the Wings. You know, a team that's been reeling a bit. But 5 and 6, not a bad spot to be. Fever, 6 and 5. More importantly, Steiny.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the best show in sports for some people, Caitlin Clark. It's like if I asked you what, like to you, is the best show in sports, who would you say?
I'm just going to tell you. And what's the thing about Malcolm Gladwell? Like your first thought is the one you go with.
Yeah,
Curry.
Curry's the best show.
Is what came to mind. I would put Mahomes up there. Judge and Otani, I think, are both up there. And, you know, obviously, Macklin Celebrini.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I think she, for a lot of people, is not, I mean, she's not Curry right now, but, you know, kind of what Curry was. Only she had more hype coming out of college, I think.
I think she did too.
Yeah. I mean, she is.
She and Angel Reese had the equivalent hype of Magic and Bird in their own, in the WNBA world.
Okay.
I think that's fair. Now, they didn't end up on opposite coasts, et cetera, but they met in the finals, national championship, and they were already big then.
But she was such a star in college that I just feel like for a lot of, I'm only speaking about people my age. You know, they haven't followed much of the WNBA. I haven't watched. I'll tune into like playoff games, and I like watching the finals. But I haven't been locked. You know, and it's different now with the Valkyries in town and being able to pay more attention to them. But I think for the average fan, like Caitlin Clark is kind of their introduction into the WNBA.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. If I were to ask you, because I think the other thing is the novelty of Caitlin Clark. She only comes out here twice, and this is the first time she's coming out here. But we were having some fun with this before the show. Let's say Caitlin Clark right now is must see, and which right now she is in the Bay if you look at ticket prices. But like, what athlete all time? I'll give you all time here, and you can go to the present. What athlete all time would you want to have seen play?
All time,
yeah. And it can be, you know, if you like I haven't seen Wemby play in person yet, Wembanyama. So it could be him for me, but it's not.
Well, there are some players that, like, I've read about crazy things that they've done, like Jim Thorpe, or you know, like, that guy was incredible from what I've read. Literally everything he did.
Yes. Native American from you know he was from a town in Pennsylvania. It was called Mock Chunk. Mock Chunk.
I didn't know that.
They changed the name to they changed the name of the town to Jim Thorpe. There's a Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Well, that seems a little
arcane.
Self-involved.
Well, he didn't rename it.
Yeah, but you got to have a little more of a calling card than just one person, right?
There were only about 17 people in there.
Okay, so. I'm just messing with you.
It was actually where up near where my dad grew up. Anyway.
Like Gale Sayers.
That's a good one.
Like Gale Sayers, what was it, his first or second season when he, you know, scored just a ridiculous amount of touchdowns?
Well, let me ask you this. Why didn't you say Michael Jordan?
Because his games I can watch.
Okay.
I think part of it is that. It's that I literally cannot go watch on YouTube or Tubi.
Yeah, it's free, by the way.
I'm aware. I can't go see a game that Gale Sayers played. You know what I mean?
Right. Along that same vein,
Or Babe Ruth.
I would have wanted to see Wilt Chamberlain play a game somewhere. I wouldn't even care if it was high school, like Kansas, or in the pros. Just seeing the highlights, I would have loved to have seen him play a whole game.
Now, what's your fascination with Wilt?
Well, just the numbers, the sheer numbers, and, you know, he averaged 50 points a game. I'd love to watch a game that year, see the whole thing start to finish, and just, how does a guy score 50? How does a guy get 50, 28, and 9? Like, I want to see what that looked like. Just like, I'm sure people 70 years ago, if you told them, you know, there's a guy, Steph Curry, who takes 16 threes a game, they'd be like, I got to see this. Kind of the same thing, only in reverse.
Well, that's what I'm also excited about in regards to tonight. Like, I haven't seen Caitlin Clark play live yet. So it's also an acknowledgement of privilege, but, like, because I get to go to a lot of Warriors games, we do pre and post, and we cover the games. Like, thank you. I've seen pretty much every single NBA player worth seeing. The only one that I haven't seen live is Wemby, but I know that I'll get a chance to do that. I'm looking forward to Steve Flagg. Like, but those players are going to come to town. This is the first time Caitlin Clark has ever come to Chase Center.
Right.
She only comes twice this year. I don't know what I'm doing in August. Like, this might be my only opportunity to see her. So I feel like I get to put my fan hat on for a day of when Curry goes to Orlando once a year, when Curry goes to Brooklyn once a year. I can kind of understand why everyone is, you know, we made a lot this year during that specific road trip, the East Coast swing, where he was getting MVP chance on the road, and he was getting an applause for the performances that he was putting on. I kind of get it. Because if that's a player you're really excited about seeing, and maybe you've seen him live before, maybe you haven't, but it's your only chance to see him that season, there is something special about that night. And so that's why I think that, number one, the tickets are as expensive as they are, but I think there's going to be a lot of juice in the building tonight. And those,
I don't think so. I mean, I don't doubt it at all.
But those are the sports moments or games that I really look forward to going to.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I had to guess tonight's game, it would kind of be half and half. I'll bet there'll be half Valkyries fans and kind of half Caitlin Clark. fans. I mean, if she scores 25, 30 points, I think there will be noticeable cheering for her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a guess. Maybe I could be wrong. Somebody, it's funny, is somebody saying they would like to have seen Bo Jackson, baseball or football? I'm assuming football. Babe Ruth, how about this? Babe Ruth, nah. I wouldn't need to see Babe Ruth. Now, the guy I would want to see would have been Mickey Mantle, because I would want to have seen...
Before he broke his leg?
Yes, because I would like to see what it looks like to be the greatest power hitter in the game, who is also the fastest guy to first base.
Now, that would be Willie Mays.
What was that? Mickey Mantle was faster than anybody. First of all, Mickey Mantle's a switch hitter. So he was on the left side of the box. So he got there faster than Mays. I don't care how fast Mays ran. Mickey Mantle was the fastest guy in baseball, they said at the time. And he was also the most feared power hitter. Yeah, I'd like to see him.
Mays was better.
He was a better player, but he wasn't faster to out of the box to first base. But Mays was a better fielder, too.
Yeah, I know. So
I think Mantle had more power, though Mantle didn't play as long as Mays.
Yeah, well, he had some other stuff going on. But Mays, I think...
Mays is a guy who...
Did he hit more home runs in a season than Mantle?
Well, Mantle hit 61, or 60.
No, he didn't. That would be Maris.
60. Okay. Well, you get them mixed up. Maris. Big deal. 1961, Evan. 61 and 61. That's how you can remember it. Where'd Roger Maris come from? Who was he trade?
He was from the Philadelphia Athletics.
That's right.
Or no, might have been Kansas City.
Kansas City.
I think they were in Kansas City. Yeah, they traded him for Don Larson.
Well, Larson threw a perfect game in 56.
He sure did. I think he was in that trade.
I think you might be right.
I think he was in that trade.
I think you might be
right. The Pride of Fargo.
Now,
Roger Maris.
Poor Roger Maris.
Yeah, I know Mantle was a switch hitter.
Poor Roger Maris. You know, he was like, he was a little like Durant coming onto a team with Curry.
Well, they traded for him.
Right. Same thing. But.
Wait, Mickey Mantle never hit 60 home runs. Never hit more than 54.
54.
I think Mays might have had him.
That's right, because they went down to like the last 2 weeks of the season.
52, the most Mays ever hit. But he was in a tough park. The thing about it, Sonny, is
Well,
I'd rather see either of them, but I think of players that I could go back and watch a game. Like seeing it live is different. I don't think Jordan would be... the boss is right there. I don't think Jordan would be on my short list.
You know who would be on my list?
Who?
Dead serious. Sandy Koufax. Sandy Koufax during his period when he was just... Look at those numbers. Absolutely, absolutely incredible. I'd rather see Koufax than Gibson, actually.
That's sad.
You ever see Koufax's, some of his numbers?
Yes. His last 4 years. But
unbelievable.
Yeah, he's incredible. He's one of the few players to be a Hall of Famer off of like six seasons.
Absolutely incredible. Bill Walton on the phone. Yeah.
The thing about pitching though, Steiny, is
yeah. Let's break it down, Evan.
Well, it's not really that exciting when you're watching it in real time.
I don't know. When you're
like no one's getting a hit, he's throwing 10 pitches an inning. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not impressive.
Well, hold on. I remember, for example, and I'm going to use him, Ron Guidry, big strikeout guy when he had a great year.
Yeah.
And when he was pitching at Yankee State, I'll use Lincecum. Like, when Lincecum was mowing people down at home, you know, here in San Francisco, and he was shutting down other teams, like, isn't that the definition of electric?
But you're not locked into every pitch. You're excited when there's two strikes.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's
like,
true.
Like when there's two strikes and you have a chance to get a strikeout, that's when the crowd rises and there's a cheer and a hurrah. But like when it's 1-0, you're not, oh yeah, Lincecum's pitching. I got to see that pitch.
don't know. They're saying Timmy was must see.
Well, yeah, of course he was, but it's because of how many people he struck out. And so I guarantee you, well, I can't guarantee you, but I think a lot of people fall in love with the box score of a pitcher, but they don't watch every single pitch, as opposed to like a hitter, because there's just less opportunities. You know, Mickey Mantle came to the plate 4 or 5 times a game. So I know the moment he walks to the plate and they announce Mickey Mantle at Yankee Stadium, that I need to watch every single second of him in the batter's box.
Yeah, I'm just envisioning, being able to watch Koufax behind one of the dugouts, that angle. And do I need to see a whole game? Probably not, but I just would love to see what it looked like that close, watching a guy who could not only throw that hard, but who also could...
Like that curveball.
Yeah, just... You know, just I'd want to see the guy be just totally dominant and see what that looks like, even though I can picture it in my mind. But I want to see how hard he throws, et cetera.
Well, but some guys are just they're just good. They're not necessarily entertaining, like Maddux.
That's true.
Like, I mean, Maddux, if you go watch it, like his 76 pitch complete game shutout, I think it might have been against the Cubs. That's a pretty boring game to watch.
Well, let me ask you this.
Like, nobody hits the ball hard, and all he does is throw strikes the entire time.
You know what? It's funny. I kind of do think that is a little bit boring, and I don't even like this guy. But when Nolan Ryan was on the mound, there was something. Like, you just knew, and maybe you were watching it not only for the strikeouts, but in case he hit somebody.
Well, yeah, he didn't know where it's going.
But, you know, he had 7 no-hitters, so... You know, he was a pitcher who, when he took the mound, I mean, I hear what you're saying about every pitch being hung on. That's not really done a lot. But
well,
I just don't think
it's reasonable to expect someone to be locked in for every single pitch.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe 120 of them.
I can just tell you that when my favorite pitcher was on the mound, yeah, I was pretty locked into the games. Pretty locked in.
That's fair.
You know, they were on. And here's the other thing. I think it's easier to lock in on a pitcher on TV rather than when you're at the game.
I agree.
It's really hard to discern when you're at the game how much the ball's moving, the change of velocity, all that kind of stuff. You just know they're not making a lot of hard contact.
Well, and that's kind of what I mean. It's like if we're talking about watching a game live. Like, in a way, sometimes it's more oppressive to watch it on television, to your point, because you can see everything it does.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always what I've wondered is, so if you're a broadcaster and you're sitting behind home plate, let's say in the middle level, can you tell what pitch it is by just looking at the pitcher and batter live on the field?
If you've seen him enough, yeah, 100%.
Okay. All right.
But a lot of guys will have to use a radar gun, or we'll have to look at the radar gun to tell.
Okay, but they're not looking at the monitor though.
No, like if you're watching similar to a, it's kind of like watching a quarterback. Like if you're watching a quarterback live, you can tell who has an arm and who doesn't.
Right.
Like that person has a freaking mutant for a right arm, but the accuracy is kind of difficult to tell real time, like how accurate of a quarterback they are. Same for a pitcher.
Well, here's my question. If you're looking at a game from the center field camera and you see the pitcher throw the pitch, you can tell what it is by its movement from that camera angle.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're behind doing the game live, like an announcer, you'd see the pitch come in live, and then you'd look at the gun to get what pitch it was.
Yes.
But like, how do you know? Do you really? What's the difference between a cutter and a curveball in terms of velocity?
Probably about 10 miles per hour for most pitchers. Like a cutter is going to be 2 or 3 miles per hour slower than your hardest fastball. And a curveball is, if it's a good one, is probably anywhere between 10 to 15 miles per hour less than your hardest pitch. And then you can just tell by the shape, you know, but that just comes from watching. And maybe that's where people are locked into every pitch because they really like to be able to like differentiate what's what.
Right. I mean, like, look, when you're watching it on TV, you know what's a bad strike call or a good strike call. And when you're watching it in person, you have no idea. For me, anyway.
No, but but there's other, well, this is inside baseball, but there's other things you can look at. You can look at where the catcher sets up. You know, if it's a 1-1 count and the catcher set up inside, it's probably going to be a fastball, you know, because you wouldn't throw an off-speed pitch in there. If it's a 1-2 pitch and the catcher hits the ground, taps the ground, it's probably going to be a breaking ball or some sort of off-speed pitch because he's trying to get the guy to chase. Like, there are situations in which you can kind of guess what pitch is coming, and that way you don't actually have to look at the radar gun. You know? Just like, I'm sure you get that kind of stuff in basketball. It's like time situation is going to dictate what the player does with the ball or where they're trying to get to.
How do I watch a basketball game? I kind of just watch it all. Sometimes I'll focus on a guy. But baseball, I think you're being too hard on people locking into a pitcher, believe it or not. There's something like, okay, how about this? Like, and I get it, this is totally different, but I remember as a kid, you know, we'd go to two Phillies games and one Yankee game a year. Okay. Hey, we're taking our trip to Yankee Stadium next Thursday. Who's pitching? Who's pitching? You want to know who's pitching right away. And you want it to be your guy, or, you know, you want it to be Nolan Ryan. Nope. We're going to see Nolan Ryan. That's better than, you know, Frank Tanana, even though Tanana could throw some heat too.
Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. I like watching the pitcher more than I like watching hitters, but that's just me.
No, I'm. For goodness sakes, happy Timmy Jimmy Day. What was that? Slim Jim.
Big time Timmy Jim.
Oh God.
Let Timmy smoke, baby.
Oh, but
let
like
Timmy smoke.
Everybody knew when Lincecum was pitching. I gotta give it credit where it's due.
And Steiny used the word electric feel to describe it. That was actually the name of his walk, his warm up song, Electric Feel.
Oh, it's a cousin
MGMT.
Of the Electric Slide, that song.
That's right.
No?
Wait, no. Ken's shaking his head no.
Yeah, I think it is. I think the Electric Slide,
yeah,
the electric...
Mr. C. What?
MGMT.
I have no management? What are you talking about?
We're going to have to talk to management after this.
We might. Okay, let me gear up here.
Oh, well, Willard and Grandy are at Chase Center, probably setting up right now as we speak, because they're getting us set for Caitlin Clark.
And
Indiana Fever playing the Golden State Valkyries tonight.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what you call fair weather. Caitlin Clark's in the house. Oh, now we'll go. Where are you for the Connecticut Sun, though, Willard? All right, that segment was brought to you by Ceramani Ford.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.